Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy virtual conference designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Aunt Hope was my mom's sister. 2 years, mommy's junior, as a matter of fact. She was a teacher. She loved eating Italian ice. And oh, she was so gorgeous. Her Hershey chocolate brown skin was a contrast to my mom's much lighter hue. And I honestly thought Aunt Hope could have been a model. And her beauty mesmerized me. However, for years, decades really, I carried silent, unspoken pain from how Aunt Hope treated my sister and me in our childhood. The snide remarks, the distance, the cold, critical comments that left scars that no one else saw. The final blow came during the last summer that my sister and I visited Aunt Hope. One day, when my sister and I were at the local pool with another relative, Aunt Hope discarded all of our childhood toys that we brought with us from Virginia to New Jersey. When my parents learned of this, they were angry, to say the least. And while I don't know exactly the words that were spoken between my mom, dad, Aunt Hope, I was relieved that we would not have to deal with Aunt Hope much longer. But the beauty of it is that her husband, oh my goodness, he was amazing. But sadly, they had separated and she was going through so much at that time that I could not see. As the years went on, I told myself that I had moved on and I built walls around that pain. Focused on achievement, focused on proving that I was more than what Aunt Hope ever made me feel. But here's what I've learned about unhealed wounds. Unhealed wounds don't disappear. They lay buried deeply underground. Yet pressure is peculiar as it is tricky, as it certainly has a way of resurfacing, bubbling up that which is unresolved. Many, many years passed, but the pain remained. So I made a decision in April of 2015, when I worked full time as a public school educator, that I would make a trip to the Jersey Shore during my spring break to confront Aunt Hope about what she did. So during that trip, sitting at dinner in a crowded oceanfront seaside restaurant, with my beloved mommy there for support, I made a decision that would truly change the entire path of my life. I looked my aunt in her eyes and told her, "Aunt Hope, I need to talk to you about something. Yes, this trip was intended to see you because I do love you, but there's something I've been carrying for a long time that you need to know." And I told Aunt Hope exactly what she did and how she made me feel growing up. The room stopped. My heart was pounding. My mouth grew dry, but there was not enough water in the world to quench my thirst from those nerves. And you know what? I did what needed to be said. But then the most astonishing thing happened. Aunt Hope cried. Aunt Hope asked for forgiveness. And then she shared something with me that destroyed every assumption that I ever had about her behavior. She admitted that while so many in her world loved her, from her students, as Aunt Hope was a beloved history teacher who later became a dean of students, to her colleagues, to those at her church where she went to mass faithfully, to countless of others who simply adored her. We never saw that side in her own family. And it is because Aunt Hope secretly carried a bit of jealousy and resentment towards my mom, and it ate her alive. Aunt Hope longed to be a mother instead of miscarrying. She longed to have a marriage that lasted instead of ending in divorce. Aunt Hope craved warmth and a family of her own for my sister and I, although she loved us, was a difficult reminder of her severe lupus that made her barren, as well as other ailments that had stolen Aunt Hope's dreams and created bits of bitterness in her. Aunt Hope didn't know how to grieve what she'd lost, so she pushed her pain, projected it onto us, not even aware of what she was doing then or even the long-term effects that it could have on young children. She took her unfulfilled dreams and turned them into weapons that wounded children who had nothing to do with her pain or her agony. But that moment changed everything, not simply for her, but also for me and for our family, because I realized something profound and deep that night. We've heard the cliche, hurt people, yes. But consider this, heal people. And if I was going to lead anyone else toward wholeness, I had to get whole myself. As time proceeded, Aunt Hope and I started to rebuild our relationship slowly and intentionally. Despite knowing the pressure that still existed, she began checking on me when I was sick and had bouts of hospitalization. She celebrated my victories instead of minimizing them. And when my best friend, Nakisha passed away in October of 2019 from pancreatic cancer. My sister friend, who knew all of my hopes and dreams and fears and longings, Aunt Hope called me personally to offer sincere condolences. But what's so strikingly odd, and the irony of it all, is that I never imagined that less than a year later, during the pandemic, Aunt Hope herself would die. Her immune system, weakened by years of lupus, couldn't fight off that virus that took her life. But I had peace, unshakable peace, because I had forgiven her, because I made a choice to let go of that pressure, despite everything going on in my world, healing over hatred, restoration over resentment, love over lasting resentment. And that forgiveness did not simply free her, but it liberated me and others around us. It allowed me to lead others more in my roles with more direction, with more peace, with more compassion, and with more power than I ever could have imagined. There's a moment that happens to every leader. Whether you are leading in a boardroom, you are leading a multi-million dollar company, whether you are leading your family, leading a classroom, leading patients, leading a team of volunteers, it does not matter the type of leadership, but it's that moment of human connection when the responsibility that you have starts to feel heavier and carry more weight than what you ever thought that it could weigh. It's that moment that I'm talking about. When at 3 o'clock in the morning, when you're only a couple of hours from waking up, that you're wide awake, turning over, tossing over and over again because of a decision, a critical choice that you must make that day. It is that difficult conversation happening in your personal life that no one else knows about, that you've been avoiding. It's that thought that knows that you need to spend more time with your husband, wife, or children, but yet you seem pulled from every end. It is that moment in which the person depending on you to have the answers when you're still trying to find out your own footing and grounding. Your phone will buzz and vibrate with another urgent message, and you thought you had your phone on do not disturb, and then your stomach knots up with that quiet whisper, and it becomes too much. And to everybody else around you, ooh, you seem that you have it together, but that is the weight of leadership. Whether you are figuring out that budget, or juggling a family schedule, or perhaps a bit of both, or whether you knew in your heart of hearts you were that business owner or that team leader, but now you doubt everything in you because the pressures of life continue to bear you down. Whether you're steering a nonprofit through a crisis or guiding your teenagers who seem to have mood swings every other day, but somewhere in the back of your mind, you think, this sure isn't what I signed up for. And you rethink your life choices. But what if I told you that pressure is not the enemy? What if the very thing that feels like it's breaking is actually revealing how unbreakable and unshakable that you really are? Now, listen to me closely. Pressure is not punishment, pressure is your promotion. Right now, I am running a purpose-driven, vision-filled community. I am consulting with leaders through breakthrough moments that no one else sees. I am speaking on stages around the world, virtually as well as in person. And in the very same breath, I am honored to carry for my father, who lives with an aggressive form of stage 4 cancer and dementia. Some days I'm helping my mom through her recent hip surgery and helping guide her through because she wants to get back to her old self quickly. But then I have my sister who comes back and forth and supports as she can. And then some days, well, all days, I'm helping people in my community navigate what they have to do because their decision will affect multitudes. You see, the point of all of this is that you too can relate. The whole part of life and leadership is that we all have moments where we simply need to pause. We need to take moments to truly understand what has led us to this calling and to this purpose, and how we are going to navigate the pressures around us. And even with my dad, when I saw him just yesterday become so fatigued and tired and drained, and when I ask him, Daddy, how are you doing? He replies, I'm good. Hard is what you make it, and some people have it worse than me. See, that's where I learned that strength isn't about getting tired, it's about finding your purpose, even when you are navigating life for yourself. It's about showing up and arriving and appearing with grace when sometimes doing what you need to do is the hardest thing that you'll do that day. There is no college course for that kind of juggling act. No leadership book title, How to Keep It All Together While Navigating Hope, Grief, Life, and So Much More. There is not the right fit of a TED talk that can tell you how to scale impact while your heart breaks in real time. But here's what I'm learning and what I encourage you. Is that I want you to get in your consciousness. The leaders who last aren't the ones who avoid hardship. They're the ones who learn how to lead themselves through it. They're the ones who discover that their greatest challenges become their greatest qualifications. You are equipped and called. Your current struggle is not your disqualification from greatness. It is your graduate degree in it. You are being upgraded. And that forgiveness didn't simply free my Aunt Hope 10 years ago, but it liberated me because it has helped me to have more authentic power than I thought possible. See, unresolved pain, it really distorts or it messes up how we lead. It can creep into our decision making like poison. It affects how we communicate, how we handle conflict, how we arrive to our clients in the moments that matter the most. Or perhaps you're not an entrepreneur, but it can simply affect the way that you talk every day with people. Whenever emotional weight is carried while trying to lead others in some capacity, stop right now and ask yourself these game-changing questions. What am I still holding on to that needs to be said out loud? What conversation have I been avoiding that's costing me my peace? Who do I need to let go of? Not for their sake and sanity, but for my own. It's not selfishness. It's survival. Are you leading from defense instead of truly being healed? Because let me tell you this, that will truly change and flip the game for you. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. It doesn't mean acting as if that hurt never happened or that that person should even be let back into your life in the same capacity. But forgiveness and all that pressure means facing the pain head on, honoring who you are, and choosing peace over everyday performance and the hustle and bustle. It means deciding that your healing is more important than any guilt or shame. The world doesn't need leaders who hide or hinder their story or their voice. They need courageous, confident, bold leaders who are strong and whole enough to tell it like it is, brave enough to be vulnerable without worrying about people's judgment, and wise enough to transform their pain into power that serves and helps others. So, how do you keep leading when the pressure is real? How do you navigate the weight without losing yourself in the process? Well, you start with what I have said before, radical honesty. Stop pretending that you're okay when you're not. Stop performing strength that you don't need to possess when you don't have it. Avoid lying to yourself about your capability, about being Superman or Superwoman. Stop lying about how energized and uplifted you are and your current emotional state when the world is falling apart. Begin each day with checking in with yourself with these three simple yet transformative questions. First, what am I feeling but haven't admitted to myself? Not what you think you should feel, not how others expect you to feel, but what is actually happening for real in your heart and in your life and in your mind right now. Name it, own it, honor it, because that leads to healing. And then, secondly, what actually needs your energy and attention today? Not the 58 things on your to-do list that's constantly being added, not everyone else's emergency, not the noise and the distraction that masks as importance. What are the two or three things that only you can do that are in alignment with your purpose that move you toward your vision. And three, ask yourself this: what am I no longer available for? What energy draining conversations, toxic, dangerous relationships, meaningless, pointless meetings, or soul crushing and hindering commitments are you going to release today? What are you going to stop tolerating simply because that's been your old habits and patterns in the name of being nice or kind or helpful or a servant leader? Now, this is not to say to not give of yourself, but it's to say that you must come first. That is how to lead even under the pressure. You don't need an hour for this. You need 5 minutes of brutal, transparent honesty. These few minutes of self-reflection and introspection will help you lead with certainty instead of confusion, with intention instead of reaction, and with power instead of pressure. Your space is important, and your energy is too. And then, leaders, if you struggle with rest, and I know that this is something that I've struggled with too, treat rest like a meeting with your most important client. Block in time in your calendar for rest and be intentional about it. Even if you have to schedule a 15-minute do nothing break where you literally do nothing but breathe. Protect your precious window each week to just simply be. Your future self, the one still standing another 10 years from now, still leading with conviction and passion, still whole and healthy and strong, will thank you for the boundaries that you set today because your value doesn't come from what you produce. It comes from who you are, and the production then comes from that. So many spend years believing that they must prove their worth through performance. Through the grind, through the hustle, through the sacrifice, through pushing past exhaustion to the point of almost killing themselves while doing it, because your body will shut down if you don't take time for you. Sometimes rest can be viewed as something for the weak, but you need the boundaries for yourself. The best leaders don't model burnout, they model sustainability, and they show others what it looks like to work with passion without sacrificing your own humanity. Authenticity will always be more powerful than being perfect. The moment that you stop leading for applause and lead from assignment, everything shifts. And there are reminders that must happen throughout your life, even to get you there. Refine your capacity like gold. Sharpening your focus creates diamonds. Because the pressure isn't here to crush you, it's here to call you forward into the fullest expression of who you are. And who you are created to be. Your family is waiting for that leader. Your team is waiting for that leader. The world is waiting for that refined version of you as a leader. Your community is waiting for that leader. And that leader is imperfect. That leader doesn't have all the answers. That leader gets tired and needs rest. But that leader is beautifully, powerfully, authentically human. And that leader is you. So lead like it with your head held high, with courage and confidence in your heart, and avoid letting the pressures of life weigh you down to the point where you have nothing left. The unshakable knowledge that you have are exactly who the world needs you to be, with both pressure and all.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session. As we transition to our next expert, remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.